We're continuing. Vihi vishochvo. Vihi vishochvo. When he lies down. V'yadat et hamakom asher yishkav sham. Pay attention where he's lying down. Uvat v'gilit margilotav v'shachavt. You come and reveal his feet and lie down. What does that mean? So, when Moshe Rabbeinu gets his first prophecy, Hashem tells him, reveal your feet. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Take off your shoe from your feet. Why? Because the shoe that we wear, the covering of the feet, is conceptually representative of the body for the soul. The body stands in the shoe your whole life, right? Your whole productive day, you're standing in your shoe. So the shoe represents the idea of the body for the soul. The soul is in the body, just as the man, the person, is in the shoe. And that's why when a person refuses to do yibum, to marry his widowed sister-in-law, in order to bring more children to continue the soul of his brother, so then she takes off his shoe. Because that's a sign that he refused, so to speak, to give a shoe for his brother's soul. He refused to give a continuation for the life. You reveal his feet. You're giving him that message. There's a soul out there waiting for a body. Are you willing to do that? Vehu yagid lach et asher tasin. And I'll tell you. Let him decide how to play it out from there. Sometimes in life, people give us advice. And it's tempting to just take their advice to the T. And that is not the hallmark of an intelligent person. An intelligent person listens and thinks about what was said and then thinks if that's the intelligent way to proceed. Vato mirileha, so Ruth says to Naomi, kol asher tomirieila yeseh. Whatever you said, I'll do. And then she proceeds not to do what her mother-in-law told her. Vatered agorin. After she had bathed herself and gone to the mikvah, she then went down to the granary. Vatas kechol asher tzivata chamotah. And then she did what her mother-in-law told her. Her mother-in-law told her, get all dressed up and go down to the granary. And she said, if I get all dressed up and I leave the house like that, in the beginning of the evening, people will think about me that I'm out there for hire. I don't want guys to start up with me. If I go out into the streets all decked out, what are they going to think? This is the time that the women of ill repute start getting out on the streets. No, I'm not doing that. So she goes down, all covered up, to the granary, and then she finds a hiding place, and then she switches into all her beautiful clothing. Vayochal Boaz vayesht vayitahav libo. Boaz ate. Boaz drank. What does it mean that he vayitahav libo? He made his heart good. So one medrash says he learned Torah. That's how you make your heart good before you go to sleep at night. The other medrash says he made his heart good and prepared for learning Torah. How do you get your heart ready for learning Torah? He ate some sweets. The Medrash says you want to be able to learn Torah well, eat something sweet before you start learning. Rabbi Feinstein, I was told by Rabbi Ort that Rabbi Feinstein in the morning would get up like 4 o'clock in the morning when he'd go to learn. He'd make himself a cup of coffee with a lot of sugar, like really thick sugar, fulfilling this Medrash, and then he'd go learn. So that's what the Medrash says, Vayitav libo. He sweetened his heart to prepare it for learning Torah. Vayavo lishkav biktzei harema. He came to lie at the edge of the pile. He is watching over his belongings because there's a lot of theft going on in that generation. And so he's going to sleep by his grain. Vatavo valat vategal margilotav vatishkav. So she comes in modesty, and Boaz was concerned because people would come to the granaries, take piles of grain, and give it to the women of ill repute as payment. So Boaz is watching to make sure that no one does that. And now he's watching so that other people won't take his grains to pay a woman for doing something inappropriate and immodest. And now she is coming in modesty and lying down next to him. So it doesn't work because he doesn't censor there. That's a very interesting thing. He's lying there to make sure no one takes from his grain. So he's supposed to sense if anyone comes to take from his grain. And someone comes and lies there right next to him and he doesn't wake up. What kind of guard is this? What's he doing there? So you could say, no, if they see him there, they won't do anything. Doesn't sound like it. So maybe that's what the pasuk is telling us, how modest she was. It wasn't that she rolled over and lay snuggled up next to him. No, that's why Chazal say, "Vatavo valat," means she came with the utmost genteel and modesty. See, she was so modest that he continues sleeping. And she's there waiting. She's not sleeping. She's shaking. She thinks the same thing that Yaakov Avinu thought when his mother sent him. She thinks, I have to listen to her, but this could be the worst move of my life. Because he might get up and see me and say, what filth, and curse me. And then my life is doomed. But she's smarter than me, and she's a pious lady. And she's telling me in prophetic vision, go do this. So I'm going to listen to her, but I'm not too comfortable with it. And so she's there, lying there in fear as the night goes on. And nothing happens. And the clock keeps ticking, and nothing happens. An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Vayhi b'chatzi halayla. Midnight comes. Vayecherad ha'ish vayilafet. Boaz probably did the same thing his grandson David HaMelech did. He's getting up in the middle of the night. He's going to daven. He's going to say Tehillim. And he sees someone there. And Vayecherad ha'ish, he got very scared. He thought it's a demon. He's about to yell. If he yells, then maybe some of his household help will come out. And then everything's ruined. Vayilafet, she grabbed him. Vinehe isha shochevet margelotav. He senses he's grabbed. He puts his hand down. He feels hair. He says, oh, it's a woman? Vayomer mi'at. He asked her, who are you? Vatomer. So she said, Anochi Ruth amatecha. I am Ruth, your maid. Ufarasta kenafecha alamatecha. And I want you to spread your wing over me, ki goel ata, because you have a responsibility to redeem your cousin's lot. And the suspense is building. Ruth is worried. Ruth is concerned that he might say, after you did that, get out of here. Why am I going to marry you? Boaz wasn't prepared for this. Vayomer, but he responds, Berucha at ladonai biti. Blessed are you to Hashem, my girl. Heitav t'chastecha acharon min harishon. Your last kindness here is greater than your first kindness. Levilti lechet acharei abachurim im dal ve'im mashir. You could have had a young husband, and ordinarily, women prefer a younger husband, even if he is poorer, than an older husband, even if he is wealthier. And your nature, Boaz tells Ruth, is that you should have preferred a younger husband, and you could have gotten one, poor or wealthy. But either way, your nature would have been happier. And so what you've done here is obviously greatness. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught, Le'olam al yimna adam atzmo milelech etzel zaken levarcho. Don't ever hold yourself back from going to an elder and getting their blessing. Sha'rei Boaz ben Peishanaya. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Boaz was 80 years old at this juncture. We discussed the different medrash that he was 400. So Boaz is an 80-year-old man. Now people reach a certain age where they can no longer have kids. Men as well. Uve'achto Naomi. Naomi blessed him and said, Baruch Hu Lashem. He should be blessed to Hashem. Miyad nifkad. And you see that right away he's going to have a child. Ve'rut bat 40 shana haita. Ruth was 40 years old. Uberha Boaz. And Boaz blesses her here. Berucha at Lashem biti. Miyad nifkada. The next night she's going to get pregnant. And so Chazal attribute these pregnancies to those two blessings. Naomi's blessing and Boaz's blessing. And if you ask me, Boaz's blessing is greater than Naomi's. Because Boaz is being caught on the spot. It's the middle of the night. He's being woken and scared out of his wits unexpectedly. And then he realizes it's not what he thought it was, but maybe it's worse. No. He right away calculates this is out of piety. She should be blessed. Ve'ata biti al tiri kol asher tomeri eselach. Don't worry, girl. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. You want me to buy the field? I'll buy the field. You want me to marry you? I'll marry you. This goes very well with what we just discussed, where there were two options here, Pilegesh or Isha. Ki yodeya kol sha'ar ami ki eshet chayi lahat. Because everyone knows, all the rabbis know, that you're a tzedekes. You are a tzedekes. And so, you're a great wife for me. I am fully prepared to marry you, not only take you as a pilegesh. So, from my end, there's no problem. So you just did an act of kindness. You could have gone after someone else, and you decided to uphold a custom. Technically, you're not obligated to this custom. If there were a mitzvah of Yibum Doraisa, you could have an out and say, it's not a good match for me. He's double my age. But here, for the sake of a custom, you waited for me. And so that's what Boaz tells her. Your kindness here is greater. That's what you asked. What's the Yibum here? It's not real Yibum. It's a custom they had. The whole Sanhedrin knows that you're a pious woman. And that your gear is for real. And that you're a woman who will uphold all the mitzvot of Hashem. Ki yodea kol shara mi, all the gates of my nation, that's a reference to the Sanhedrin, they all know ki eshet chayil at, that you are a pious woman, and therefore everyone has the utmost respect for your giyur. I am happy to marry you. It's fascinating how Boaz knows that there's an element that a person still needs validation, as much as a person thinks it's behind me. Of course, I don't need anyone to say I'm kosher. I know I'm kosher. No, it still gives her a tremendous strength when he tells her, everyone knows you're great. It gives a person strength. Don't worry, Boaz tells her. Don't worry. He tells her a phenomenal concept. You might worry you don't have yichus. Let me tell you, you have the best yichus. The best yichus is that you're an eshet chayil. The best yichus is who you are, not who you come from. I hope you guys appreciate that what I'm telling you is not my own pshatim. Yes. These ideas, everything I'm telling you is either from a medrash or from the Targum or from the Ibn Yichya. all these ideas is not Nathaniel Frankenthal interpreting the verses. The small places where it was my own interpretation, I told you, I think. If I'm not saying I think, then I'm quoting. You can go online and see my notes. There are about 15, 20 pages of notes on the Megillah. You can see over there what I'm quoting here. So the Boaz is telling her the greatest yichus, the greatest genealogy you have. Because it's not about where you come from, it's about who you are. And that's why I am very happy to marry you. It doesn't bother me that you're not from this great family. It's not a shame for me, says Boaz, the leader of the Jewish people, the equivalent of the king of the time, to marry you, because you are Eshet Chayil. That ki omnam ki goel anochi, he says to her, it's true, I'm a relative, vegam yesh goel karov mimeni, but I have an uncle, he's a closer relative than me. Lini halayla, you have one night left to sleep as a single woman. And in the morning, we're going to go to my uncle Tov, and we're going to ask him, do you want to redeem? You, Ruth, were very careful to keep the custom. Well, the custom is that he has first rights, so we have to ask him. And if he doesn't want to, then I will. I swear by Hashem, shichvi ad haboker, sleep till the morning. Why did he swear? So the simple reading of the text is, he swore to show her, I'm not just pushing you off, I'm going to do it. Either I or he, but you're going to be married tomorrow. That's the simple reading. Chazal tell us they had a tradition to break up the pasuk differently. Chayashem shichvi ad haboker. The pasuk, according to the cantillation notes, Chayashem is the vow about everything that preceded. And after he finishes that sentence, he tells her a new sentence. Now I want you to sleep until the morning, and then we'll deal. Her sages had a different tradition that you should read it as, I swear by Hashem, you should sleep till the morning. What's he saying? He's saying, I know myself, and I know that I am very attracted to you, and I know that I don't want to do what I very much do want to do. My desire is pulling in one way, and my neshama says, no, this is not the way to go today. Tomorrow night we could be married, possibly, but tonight nothing should happen. And I don't know if I will succeed in taking control of myself. I swear by Hashem, nothing is happening here tonight. Wow. Once he swore by Hashem, he knew he wouldn't transgress. So he swore by Hashem to take control of himself. Another hallmark we see over and over again by the tzaddikim is that they're honest, they recognize their weaknesses, and as such, they ensure not to fall by their weaknesses. One of the reasons people fall is because they're not honest with themselves. If you realize, this is a weakness, this is a place I'm attracted to, so then you don't fall. Someone asked me, Shaila, they said, are they allowed to take their daughter? I don't know if it was a 10-year-old or 12-year-old or whatever. Are they allowed to take their daughter, just the father and daughter, on a camping trip for 3 days? Is there a problem of yichud? So I said to him, it's mutter, so long as you know yourself that you don't have any weakness in this area. Do I know what desires he has? Technically, the halacha says it's mutter, yes, but we don't choose our weaknesses. No one chooses what desires they have. If a person knows he has a certain weakness, then he should not go alone on a camping trip with his daughter. Every other person, the norm is, go on a camping, you can go, no problem. But I don't know who's within the norm and who isn't. We don't choose, and every person has weaknesses. Yes. We all have components that if we had a choice, they wouldn't be a part of who we are. But we have them. Now we have to deal with them. The Torah was talking to us mere mortals when it says, do not desire your neighbor's wife. It was talking to us. It wasn't talking to the neighbor. It's talking to us. Okay, so we have to know. So Boaz knows. Boaz takes a vow because he knows he doesn't want to trust himself. Vatishkav Malgilotav ad haboker. So she lay by him till the morning. It's her. So we move on. Vatishkav Malgilotav ad haboker. She lay by his feet till the morning. Vatakov Miterm Yakiri Shetreyeyu. She got up before anyone could recognize anyone else. Vayomer al yivada kiva haisha hagorin. He said, let it not be known that a woman came here tonight. I always crack up in shul. The whole shul hears him, his secret. Right? Let no one know what happened here tonight. Every year, we all read Boaz telling Ruth, shh, no one should know. Because who knows what people would say? People won't know if anything happened or didn't happen. Okay. So, Vayomer. He said to her, Havi Hamitpachat asher alayich vechoziva vatochizma. He said, give me the cloth that you're wearing, hold it. She holds the cloth. Vayamot shesorim vayashet aleha vayavoh ha'ir. He weighed out six barley. Six se'ah. So, that's a third of what she brought home the first night. And he gave it to her. Now that's a big weight, and he told her there are going to be six tzaddikim coming out of her, and each one will have six blessings. David, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Mashiach. She came to her mother-in-law, she asked her, who are you? In other words, what's your identity now? She told her, you know, he's told me prophetically that I have a big future, but what's going on here? So Chazal tell us, all night long, Boaz didn't want to hurt Ruth's feelings, but he lay there on his face, and he kept saying over and over again, Ribono Shel Olam, you know I didn't do anything wrong. Ribono Shel Olam, please, don't let your name be desecrated by me. If people find out, who knows what'll happen? So he kept davening. So he asks her, please give me the cloth. I'm giving you an amount, and you will see I might still marry you today. I'm not forgetting what we discussed yesterday. Vayavo ha'ir, he came to the city. Chazal say he walked in front of her. He wanted to make sure at this hour, who knows who would start up with her. He wanted to protect her. They didn't walk together, but he walked ahead of her. So she comes to her mother-in-law. She said, he gave me these six barleys, a huge amount, and it's a sign. He said, don't come home empty-handed. She said, okay, you're staying home with me today until you know how they decreed in heaven, because today it's going to have a good ending. All we have to know now is, what does heaven have in mind? How things will come down from heaven. Boaz is a serious person. He's going to take care of it today. ובועז עלה שער וישב שם. Boaz went up to the gate. He went up to the high court. The Sanhedrin is there, and he sits with the elders. Vihine, behold, it's a surprise. Their Bon Shalom's taking care of the world. There aren't surprises. But okay, the time comes. Hagoel over Asher diber Boaz. The relative Tov that Boaz spoke about is passing by. Vayomer sura shevapo peloni almoni. Please come here, peloni, my sir almoni, who keeps his ways modest and hidden. Peloni almoni. Peloni, my sir almoni, who is widowed. The Megillah calls him that. The Megillah says he was widowed from Torah. Torah is supposed to be your wife. A person is supposed to be connected to Torah so he doesn't make stupid mistakes in Torah. And this man made the mistake of his lifetime. He says to Boaz, why did our cousins die? Because they married non-Jewish women. I'm going to go marry her? Why would I do that? So the Megillah gives him this name, Almoni, widowed. In other words, he's not connected to Torah. Vayasal vayeshev. He veered off the path and sat there. Yes, sir.
Is Uncle Tov?
What?
Uncle Tov.
Uncle Tov, yeah.
Okay.
And
this is not the real name.
Correct. Okay. We hide his name in shame. Because he is the only person in the Megillah who does what's right. What do I mean? Every one of us, when we read the Megillah, if we had to choose what we would do, would any of us have the courage to be different than him?
No.
What he's doing is saying, I want to be safe. Leave me alone, boys. I'm not gambling. I have a family. I have a wife. If I marry another wife, who knows what will happen? I have kids. Today you're telling me the court ruled now, the last few months, that it's kosher to marry her. But what will be in the court ruling in a month or two, in a year or two? And he's right. Like I said in the WhatsApp message last night, he proved to be right. A few centuries later, David HaMelech, and the whole court is up in arms. Who said he's a kosher Jew? Shaul can't decide. Doegadomi can't decide. Avner Ben-Er can't decide. And in David's lifetime, this goes on. So, what does he say? Why should I risk my whole name, my reputation, my kosher genealogy with her? Boaz, she's all yours. And he makes the mistake of a lifetime. So Ploni Almoni is going to say what every one of us would have said. And that's why we're not great. We have to learn from the Megillah to be great.
Wow.
To say, if that's what's right, I'm going to do it. If that's what's right, I'm going to do it. I don't want to. I might not like to. There's a risk. But it's right. I'm going to do it. Our Megillah is about people taking risks. They're saying, if it's right, I'm going to do it. And so Ruth has everything to lose by becoming a Jew. She's a princess. What do you need this for? Be a good Noahide. Who asked you for this? It's right. I'm going to do it. And when it's right for Naomi, Naomi does it. Oh, in the beginning of the Megillah, Elimelech says, come on, let me take care of my wealth. I'll be a better leader. I'm supposed to be the king of the Jewish people. No, what's right now is not to think about your own wealth. It's to think about the people. So Elimelech dies, and Machlon and Chilion die, and Orpah says, you know, I got a future, I got a marriage, I got a life. Okay. So our Megillah keeps showing us people who make the calculations that humanoids make. Yes, these are normal human calculations. Let me protect myself, let me make sure I'm doing things right. Excuse me. Right means you calculate. What does God want from me? What's the right thing to do? So Ploni Almoni says, you know, it's risky. Boaz says, Eshet Chayil, this is a woman that everyone should want to marry. She's a tzedekes. You're worried about her genealogy? Look at who she is. Eshet Chayil. And so he asks him, Vayikach asara anashim mizikne ha'ir vayomer shivufo. Takes 10 men from the elders. He says, I want you here, vayeshevu, so they convene. ויאמר לגואל חלקת השדה אשר להכינו לאלימלך. He says, look, our brother Elimelech, he has a field that he had to sell. מחרה נעמי השבה משדה מואב. נעמי has sold. ואני אמרתי אגלה אוזנך לאמור. So I said to myself, let me update you. Kinei neged hayoshevim neged zikne ami im tigal geal vim lo yigal agidali. Are you going to redeem? Good. And if not, tell me. Veidea ki ein zulatecha ligol. I need to know, because there's no one else but you. Ve'anochi acharecha. I'm the next in line. Vayomer anochi egal. So he says, I'm ready to buy the land. That's my mitzvah, I'm prepared. Vayomer Boaz, Boaz says, okay, biyom kenotecha asadeh miyad Naomi, you're going to buy the field from Naomi now. Umeyet, utam aviyay shetamit kanita, you're going to buy it from Ruth as well. Lakim she, but then you also have to buy Ruth. Lakim shemamet al nachlato. I want to reestablish the name of Mahlon the deceased on his lot. So everyone knows her. She's the wife of Mahlon. Everyone knows it's the field of Mahlon. I want it to continue that way. So are you prepared? So the man says, okay. He's thinking. Boaz doesn't want to embarrass him in front of everyone. And that's why he calls aside 10 of the elders. Even when he's doing what's right, part of what's doing what's right is not to embarrass the guy who might not be able to do what's right. So he pulls away 10 of the elders to have this conversation on the side. So he asks him, do you want to? Do you want to? So he says, I can't. He says, I'm married and I'm worried about the yichus. I have two reasons why I can't. Vayomer ha-goel lo uchal ligoli, I can't redeem. For me. Two reasons. Me and my family. Ben nashchit et nachlati. I'm worried I'm going to destroy my own lot. Gal lecha tat geulati ki lo uchal ligal. You redeem because I can't. Twice he says I can't. He says I have two reasons I can't. And so this is our rule in life. It's what they write on the banners. Excuses plus excuses equals zero. You have good excuses. It's not your fault. My kids sometimes tell me, it's not my fault, Abba, I should get that. And I say, you're right, it's not your fault. It's not my fault either. So they say, what do you mean? But I should still get it. I say, no, it's not your fault. You're right, it's not my fault either. Just because it's not our fault doesn't mean we get something. It's not our fault means it's not my fault and I'm at zero. Having a good excuse leaves me at zero. It doesn't mean I'm going to get a reward because it wasn't my fault that I didn't get it. It's not your fault. You're legitimate. No problem. You're at the same zero you were at before. So the Redeemer here is saying, I can't. I can't. So the end of the game is, he's right. He can't. And no one even knows what his real name was. Boaz, for all of eternity, is the father of David and Mashiach. But we have to know that in our own lives, we have moments. We have moments where we have to make the right decision. And it's about being able to say, what does Hashem want of me now? One question. Can I think of only one question? Because that's the only thing I have to think about. And it's a habit to think about only one question. It's a habit when someone annoys us, do we yell back? It's a habit when we're really upset, how do we behave? We train ourselves to behave and think a certain way. Vizot. לפנים בישראל על הגאולה ועל התמורה לקיים כל דבר שלף איש נעלו ונתן לראו וזאת התעודה בישראל. So they made a pact. He said, take off your glove and you give it to me, and that's going to be a sign that that's it, you've given me the rights, and this is the point at which it became accepted that by giving someone a glove, you make that act of acquisition. And that's what happens at a wedding ceremony also. The rabbi gives the chatan a cloth, a handkerchief, his yarmulke, he says, okay, or his pen. He says, now you're going to take this, and with taking this, you're giving over to your kala all the responsibilities, it says in the ksuba, you are now taking upon yourself. So the Redeemer says to him, you redeem for yourself. And he took off his glove. Okay? What? I don't know. ויאמר בז לזקנים וכל העם עדימתם היום כי קניתי את כל אשר לאלי מלך ואת כל אשר לחיליון ומחלון מיד נעמי. I've bought the rights, you're all witnesses that I have bought the rights. Why does he mention Chilion first? He wants to give honor to Chilion. He already understands that Chilion is wiped out. There's no future for him. His wife is gone. Not, everything's gone. So he wants to give him some type of honor. So he mentions him first. He's also alluding to the idea that they're both going to have merits in the world to come, even though Chilion did not have someone to take over his lot. Vegam et Rut Moavia Eshet Machlon Kaniti Lile Isha. I'm also acquiring the rights to marry Ruth. And with this, we will establish the deceased name on his lot. Everyone knows it's Machlon's field. They'll continue knowing that it is Machlon's field. So Boaz tells them, Edimatim, you are my witnesses. And that's, from here we have the custom that at a wedding, a chatan says to the two witnesses, Atem Edai, you two are my witnesses. ולא יקרא את שם המת מימיו ומשל מקומו. And with this, the deceased name will not be lost from within his family. Edimatem hayom. You are my witnesses today. So he tells it to his tribe of Judea. And what do they answer? Vayomero kolam asher bashar vazekenim edim. There were a lot of people who started gathering. And they were all in shock to see the humility of Boaz. That he's on such a level that he's prepared to marry a woman that everyone knows it's a risk. And everyone knows that she probably could have had a hard time finding a decent shidduch. And she's getting the best shidduch of the Jewish people. Number one, she's getting the number one Jew, the king of Israel of the time, is going and marrying her. He says, she's a tzaddikess. That's perfect for me. And so they're in awe, and they rejoice when they see it. Yitain, they bless him. Adonai et Aisha ba'a el beitecha. May Hashem give the woman who comes into your house, she should be kirachel. She should be like Rachel and Leah. Rachel was the essence of the home. Here the children of Yehuda are admitting that the main part of Yaakov's home was Rachel. They say, Hashem should give you success. She should be like Rachel and Leah. Asher banu sheteyem et beit Yisrael. They built the house of Israel. Vaseicha yil be'efrata ukrashem beveit lachem. May you succeed in Ephrat, in among important people. May your name be recognized among Israel. May your house succeed and gain a great reputation without consideration of all the questions that could arise about the genealogy. And our sages say that the questions did arise. This was a constant that David carried with him, that people would question him. So they bless him. They said like this, your children should be like Rachel and Leah. You should have a large quantity of children. Vasechayel beEfrata, they should be nobles. That's the quality of children. Vasechayel, they should also be wise people who have awe and fear of sin. Ukrashem, they should have a good reputation. They should be kind people, that people like them. V'hi beitecha kevet peretz. Your house should be like the house of Peretz, that your first son from Mahlon should succeed like the first son of Tamar. Tamar's first son was Peretz, and most of Judea came from Peretz, so they're blessing him. Your house should be like Peretz. You're going to have a child now. It should be successful. Not like the first 60 kids that he had that all died. Asher yaledat Tamar liHuda. I don't know the allusion of Tamar to Yehuda. If there's an allusion here in the Megillah to what happened between Tamar and Yehuda and what happened with Boaz and Ruth, I don't know. Min hazera asher yiten Adonai lecha min hanara hazot, from the seed that Hashem will give you from this girl. So they bless him. Min hanara hazot, they call her a young girl. In other words, she is somewhere between age 12 and 15 at this juncture.
Isn't this the house of Perez, though?
It is. Correct.
It says, be like the house of Perez.
Right.
But it is Dafka.
Right, but she isn't. Your home from her should be like the house of Perez. Vayikach.
How old was Boaz then?
80? Either 80 or 400. Two midrashim. Vayikach Boaz et Rut vatilo le'isha. He took her, and she was fit to be his wife. Vayavo eleha, and he consummated the marriage. Vayiten Adonai la herayon vateled bein. Hashem gave her pregnancy, and she gave birth. So Boaz is an old man, and now that he has no more kids, he has a child with her. We discussed earlier the Gemara in Baba Basra that Hashem taught us that there was some element of inappropriate behavior from Boaz to Manoach. Chazal are telling us there was something there that had he been a drop more modest, and he was a huge tzaddik, so it's hard for me to say, but that's what they're telling us, then he wouldn't have made this mistake. And so Boaz shows us the epitome of modesty here. He's willing to take the girl that no one's willing to look at. And he says, she's a tzaddikus, I'm going to take her. So he did a complete tshuva. And so he built a complete home. And this is another fantastic theme of the Megillah, of never giving up hope. As down as a person is. Ruth was the bottom rung. She didn't think anyone would marry her. You don't give up hope. All it took was one night. So the women said to Naomi, Baruch Adonai Asher lo ishbit lach goel hayom. Blessed is Hashem who ensured that you would have a redeemer today. They didn't think that Boaz would do all this. And they didn't think that Boaz would be so dedicated to his family. Baruch Hashem. They said, look at how Hashem took care of you to ensure there's a Redeemer. V'yikarei Shemo b'Yisrael. May you have a child that is famous among Israel's for his piety. And our sages say again, the blessing of these old women had an impact. Naomi's friends, as we see. Vehayalach lemeshiv nefesh, and may he rejuvenate your soul. May he rejuvenate you. You lost everything, right? So he should rejuvenate you. Remember, the sun takes control of the sky. Hashem gave you a goel hayom. Why do they say hayom? They said he's like the sun. Just like the sun takes control of the sky, so too you should have seeds from him who take control over all of Israel. And Chazal tell us that this blessing is what kept the Davidic dynasty alive. There was a time in Jewish history, there was a wicked woman named Ataliah who tried to eradicate all descendants of David. And she almost succeeded. But there was one boy who they succeeded in hiding over the Holy of Holies. Our sages say their success in hiding that boy over the Holy of Holies during the reign of Ataliah was only because of this blessing. The blessing these old ladies gave Boaz is what kept the ember of David alive centuries later. We're talking about in the end of the first Beit HaMikdash period, centuries later. It was thanks to this blessing. And this child should be with you as you age. Because your daughter-in-law who loves you gave birth to him. Asher hi tov alach mishiva habanim. She is better than seven sons. You have a daughter-in-law who is better than all of them. People say that a daughter is better than many sons. A daughter. Because a daughter takes care of her parents, even though she doesn't have the obligation. V'hai alach l'meshiv nefesh. The pasuk says, "He tov alach mishiva banim." She's better than seven sons. Your daughter-in-law.
No, I use it for the feminist.
For the what?
For the feminist.
No, I say which literature you have from 2,000 years back, like the Book of Daniel, who's the strongest in the world, and so on, so on, so on. Find anyone else. Like when they argue that the Torah is feminist.
Because as a woman ages, especially a widow, one of the challenges is not to become depressed. And little children, as he grows up, he will play with you, he'll keep you from getting depressed. And then as he grows, he will also be able to support you financially. His mother loves you a lot, and she will teach him to love you as well. That's another rule. The daughter-in-law controls how the kids view their grandmother. And if you want your kids to have a good connection with you, then you should know you have to invest in your relationship with your daughter-in-law. And so, Vatikach Nomi, Tayel Vatishiteyu Vechikah, Nomi took the child, she held him close, Vatilo Leomenet, that she brought him up. She would take him and put him back to sleep at night when he would wake up. And ordinarily, the way grandmothers are is, in the middle of the night, don't call me. In the middle of the day, he's playing, I'll play with him. He's fun, he's cute, I'll play with him. Naomi wasn't like that. She behaved as though she was the nurse who was hired to take care of him. And so she took care of him completely. The neighbors called him Ben Naomi, the son of Naomi, the son of pleasantness. They also called him Oved Hashem, the servant of Hashem. And so his son was Yishai, who was the father of David. And then we have the recounting of the genealogy. Shmuel, who compiled this, wanted us to know David's genealogy. And so that's why he goes all the way back to Peretz, which shows of strength. Ve'ele toledot Peretz, this is the genealogy from Peretz, the child who broke through against his younger brother. His younger brother stuck out a hand, and this was a sign that kingship would come from him. Peretz olid et Chetzron. He gave birth to a child who was a child of importance. Chetzron means one of importance. Vechetzron olid et Ram. He gave birth to a child who was great both in wisdom and good traits. Ram olid et Aminadav. Ram was the one who was a great leader, who was Aminadav. He was able to get people to volunteer and do things the way they should. Right? He led the Jewish people into the Yamsuf. The Aminadav olid et Nachshon. Nachshon was the prince of the tribe of Judea, the Nasi. And he was great in his wisdom. V'Nachshon holid et Salma. He gave birth to a child named Salma, which is a code for someone who is righteous and a general. V'Salmon holid et Boaz. Boaz, the one whose strength comes with him. V'Boaz olidet Oved. Boaz gave birth to the man who was a true servant of Hashem. V'Oved olidet Yishai. Yishai comes from the word Yeshut, existence. His actions were so pure that his existence should have been eternal, from the word Yesh. However, Hashem decreed that a human has to die. That's why Yishai died. That's what Chazal say. Met bet yoshel nachash. He died simply because human beings have to die. Otherwise, he should have kept living. He was so pious. VeYishai holidet David. Yishai gave birth to Elchanan, and in Tanakh he has the nickname David, which means the one who loves Hashem or is beloved by Hashem. David means the beloved.
Zakhuru.